We are so grateful that we can gather together on this special day, Resurrection Sunday, to exalt and to glorify and to praise you. Father, may your name be glorified in this place. May all the praise and honor go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He is risen. Can we say that again? He is risen. He is no longer in that grave. And that is, folks, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, you know that we wouldn't be here today. It's because of that, right? The resurrection. There was a death, there was a burial, and then this Sunday there was a resurrection of the Lord. And ultimately there was an ascension where the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us, interceding for you and I. So this morning's message, I want to give you the title of it. Now is the time to resurrect your faith. How's that? There's no better time than now for us to resurrect our faith. And, you know, Jesus said these amazing words. He said in John 11:25, Jesus said to her, he said, I am the resurrection. Whoever, and when the word says whoever, that includes you and I, huh? So this is for us. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Folks, if you are a child of God, you believe in Jesus, you will never die. We are going to be moving into an amazing eternity in his presence. But Jesus didn't stop there. He asked another question. And then he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And I'm asking the same question with us here this morning. Do you believe this? You know, folks, our faith actually blossoms in the shadow of the cross. Is that right? And also, you know, while the cross is the end to death, it's really that empty tomb is the beginning of life for all of us. And I want to just be a bit real here this morning. Have you ever felt, as a believer, that you feel that your faith is down, that your faith is dead? And not only that your faith is dead and your walk with the Lord has, you know, kind of become a crawl, but that you're at a place where sometimes you feel that it can never be revived to the point that it was at one point. Have you ever felt like that? Because we go through stuff as believers. Have you ever felt, you know, that it's just about impossible for your faith and your walk with the Lord to be resurrected to a place where it should be? Because when we are feeling like that, you know what happens? We start to feel like a token Christian. We start to feel like a pew warmer. Huh? And even in our own church, we might come to church, but we come into our church because we're not in a good place with the Lord. For whatever reason, we start to feel like a visiting member of our own churches. So then the question is, how do we get out of this tomb of dead faith and dead works and dead religion? How do we do it? God has a solution for us. And the solution is very, very clear. And the solution is through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing is that we need to unite ourselves with Jesus, and we need to make sure that we crucify the sinful nature. Huh? Crucify. There's something that we have to do. We have to do that, folks. We have to crucify the sinful nature. And, you know, many of us have actually, we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And many of us have actually cluttered this temple with a whole lot of sin that shouldn't be there. And we need to rise up as believers and actually deal with this. So what is the solution to all of this? And the solution is spring cleaning. Spring cleaning, all right? Spring cleaning is what really, you know, spiritual crucifixion is all about. We need to make sure that we have a spring clean. And that involves, you know, spring cleaning ourselves, the way we are living our lives and so on, and also spring cleaning the sin that may be hanging around in our lives as well. And to be honest, we need to be honest with ourselves when it comes to this. We don't like doing that. How many of us, you know, let me say this. Do you know that the Word of God says that there is pleasure in sin? Huh? There must be pleasure in sin, otherwise none of us would sin. Why do we sin? There's pleasure in it, but folks, there's a consequence, and we need to be mindful of the consequence. So we need to take our walk with the Lord very, very seriously. So I want to read Romans 6, verse 6. It says, we know that our old self, now your old self is your old life before you got born again. That's the old you. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. With who? With Jesus. Why was our old self crucified with Jesus? Well, let's read on. In order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So before we were born again, right, it's possible many people are enslaved to sin. But folks, once we have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, it's not saying that we won't sin, but we will not be a slave to sin. We won't be at sin's beck and call all the time as we were before we were actually born again. So spiritual crucifixion and resurrection, it involves four things. And I want to just talk very briefly about these four things here this morning. And the first one is to hear God, but not just to hear God when he speaks to us. We need to, as believers, have the ability to hear him. And we hear him, you know, he can speak to us. He lays something on our hearts. Another way, the main way that he speaks to us is through the word. So, but we need to be able to hear him, and not only hear him, we then need to make sure that we obey him. It's not good just hearing. We need to hear and obey, and that will strengthen our faith. And of course, there are many excuses that we have when it comes to this. Huh? There are many excuses and distractions from actually hearing him. Romans 10:17, because, like I said, one of the main ways that we hear the Lord is through the Word of God. And Romans 10:17 says, so faith will come, how does it come? From hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing through the Word of God, or through the Word of Christ, some translations say. So to put it simply, many of us don't read the Word of God. Many of us don't listen to the Word of God, and many of us don't obey the Word of God. And when we are in that place, when we are not responding to God's Word, folks, we become deceived by the God of this age. We actually open a door and we allow him in. And let's make sure we don't do this. So that is the first one. The next one, okay, we're talking about, spiritual crucifixion and resurrection. The next one, believing the message. Do you believe the message? Do you believe the message that Jesus has given us in the Word? Jesus said it very, very plainly in John 8:24. He says, I told you, it's him speaking to us today, I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believed that I am he. You will die in your sins. In other words, these are people that don't believe this. Folks, we need to believe who Jesus is. And for us that are here today, I think most of us do believe that, right? But there's a lost and dying world out there that don't believe it. And we have a responsibility to get out at every opportunity we have and get this message of the good news out there. It says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. We can't draw near to our Creator and at the same time don't believe that he exists. Huh? Must believe that he exists, and that not only that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him, or he rewards those who diligently seek him, other translations say. So, folks, we need to believe the message, and not only believe it, we need to get this message out there as well. The third thing, when we're talking about spiritual crucifixion and resurrection, and remember, this is what we need to do. Don't ask the Lord to do these things for us, right? We need to make these decisions. The next one is repentance. Okay? And really, what is repentance? It's really just a change of heart from our incorrect way of doing things and our incorrect way of thinking. It requires a turning back, a turning around, turning 180 degrees, and start to embrace what the Lord actually says about these things. In Luke 13, verse 1, it says, "There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans." So these people were telling Jesus about the Galileans, "whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he," and this is Jesus, "he answered them." So he answers these people and he says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" So Jesus asks a question and then he answers the question. He says, "No." He says, "No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Then he doesn't stop there. He carries on in the next verse. Verse 4, he says, "Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam actually fell and killed them." So there was a tower that fell, on these 18 people, killed them. Jesus says, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?" He asks a question, and then he answers the question. He says, "No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Folks, this thing of repenting is something that we have to do. We don't like to do that. God knows everything about us. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. And sometimes we think that when we do something that is not pleasing to him, that, we can just push it one side and maybe he doesn't even recognize it or he doesn't know about it. He does know about it. He does recognize it. And basically what the Word of God is telling us to do, that we, when we mess up, and don't think you're not going to mess up, because we all do, when we mess up, he wants us to come to him and tell him about it. That's all it is. That's what repentance is. So if we do not repent of whatever it might be, we remain dead in our sins. And he wants each one of us to walk in absolute freedom. And folks, when we repent, we are actually set free. We are set free from the sin, whatever it might be. But not only the sin, we also set free of all those things in the world that are kind of grabbing hold of us and trying to slow us down as well. And it then gives us the ability to start to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ again, and we follow after him. There are many, many believers in Jesus, and I'm saying this because I think this is important. Many believers that have dead, powerless Christian lives. Powerless. And there's a reason for it. One of the main reasons is because they will not allow God to transform our lives, their lives, whoever it might be, through the power of repentance. There's something powerful about this thing of repentance, folks, where we are just set free so that we can walk in that freedom that he bought for us. We see in Luke, Acts 3 verse 19. It was written by Luke. Remember, Luke was a doctor, and he wrote the book of Acts. But he says, in verse 19, he says, "Repent therefore, and turn again, that your sins might be blotted out." When we do things his way, folks, and we, like this, the Bible, the word is clear, we need to repent. It blots out those sins of ours, so that we can walk in this incredible freedom that Jesus actually purchased for us. The next one, number 4, we're talking about spiritual crucifixion and spiritual resurrection as well. Confession. Confession, this is a big one. Now, I want to speak about confession because there are actually two elements or two things that I'd like to speak about when it comes to confession. The first element is confession of our sins. Now, this is, just so that we're all on the same page. Who hasn't sinned this week?
We all
I'm just checking. So we're all on the same page, okay? Because otherwise you might be sitting and saying, oh, this is a good message for the person next to me. No, this is for us. This is for us, for all of us. Okay? The first one is the confession of sin. And for the believer, folks, if we sin, we are to confess our sin, okay, and make restitution. And I'm going to give us a scripture right now that if I wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, as you open your eyes, you should be able to quote this to yourself. You know what it is? Okay. 1 John 1 verse 9. Hey? It says, if we confess our sins, and we've just proved that every one of us have sinned, if we confess our sins, watch what happens. He is faithful and he is just to not only forgive us our sins, but to also cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that when we confess our sins, instead of these sins just being piled on top of one another and, you know, just dragging us down, and eventually we're at a point where we feel so far from God, when we confess them, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, there is such a freedom in this. Such freedom. Okay, and he wants us to walk in this freedom. So that's the first one. The second one, the second element of confession, is the confession of our faith. Now, John 12:42, let me read it. Now, this is an interesting couple of verses here. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. So people in position of authority in the synagogues, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? But it says, but for fear of the Pharisees, those were the religious guys, the religious leaders of the day. For fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. Right? They did not confess and make public that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Watch here. So that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Oh, my word. All right? They were more concerned about not being put out of the synagogue than making a public declaration of who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. It says, for they would not be put out of the synagogue. And then it says, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. In other words, there were a bunch of people in their synagogues who were just people pleasers. We have to get past that. Amen? That's not us, is that right? Folks, let's take our opportunities, the opportunities we get to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and not be like these guys here. Or, you know, if I tell people I'm a believer, you know, I might be rejected in some form or some way. So yeah. Another thing I just want to talk about when it comes to this thing of confession. Do you know that even our salvation is linked to confession? When we get born again, it's linked to confession. Romans 10 verse 9, we all know it. It says, because if you confess with your mouth, in other words, you say it. You don't think it, you say it. Confess with your mouth, that's what it means. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is. All we have to do is confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Next verse says, for with your heart you believe and is justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. Isn't that amazing? So even our salvation is as a result of this. So getting back to this thing now, so how do we get out of this tomb of dead faith? This tomb that we often find ourselves in, of dead works and of dead religion. The first point I mentioned is that we unite ourselves with Jesus and we crucify the sinful nature. And that is what we have to do. Don't ask Jesus to crucify your sinful nature. We have to do that. The next thing I'll mention is we unite ourselves with Jesus and we bury the sinful nature. So it's we crucify and then bury. Jesus was crucified on the cross and then he was put into that grave. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And again, I want to point out, folks, it doesn't mean that we will never sin. But it just means that it's not something that has snared us and it becomes a lifestyle. We are able to get out of it when we repent and do some of these things I mentioned. By no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you know that? Okay, he died on Friday, Good Friday, there was a death. And it says here that we were baptized into his death. Verse 4, not only were we baptized into his death, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. Why? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So what happens here that when we are actually baptized and when we go underwater, as we go underwater, it depicts Christ's death, right? And also death to our old self. Are we there? And as we come out of the water, it depicts Christ's resurrection. Resurrection Sunday, today. And our own rise into new life. And folks, baptism is an ordinance. Baptism is not something that if you feel like being baptized, you should. And if you don't feel like being baptized, you don't have to. It's an ordinance. It's an instruction from the Lord. We need to be baptized. And baptism has not been sprinkled with water. Okay, not sprinkled. In fact, the word means to be totally immersed. We need to be totally immersed so that this scripture actually makes absolute sense to us here. So that's really what baptism represents. So over and over again, if you go and have a look, as you read through the book of Acts, that was the early church, we see people being baptized. And baptism, again, is a public display. We do it publicly. It's really the burying of the old man. That's what it represents. And it also shows that as we come out of the water, we are rising, you know, to that new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to recap. So number one, we unite ourselves with Jesus and we crucify the sinful nature. Number two, we unite ourselves with Jesus and we bury the sinful nature. Now, number three, we unite ourselves with Jesus and we rise from the dead. We rise from the dead. We have become a new creature. We've become a new creation according to God's word. We are born again, folks. We are now part of the family. Why? Because we have resurrected life, the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. And what's so amazing about this, you know, this today, Resurrection Sunday, the Word of God says that it is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Isn't that incredible? God the Holy Spirit, living in us, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives on the inside of us. Jesus said in John 3:5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, remember we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago? Born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So folks, we've been renewed by God's Spirit. Isn't that amazing? God's Spirit, we are spirit beings that are in a body, and connected to that Spirit is our soul, right? One day when we die, the body goes into the grave, but the soul is still connected to the Spirit. Now, if we do not receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, where God by His Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us, that we become a new creature, a new creation, if we don't have Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, when we die, according to Scripture, we are going to spend eternity. We're still going to be around, but we're going to be spending eternity in a real place called hell. I know people don't like to use the H word in church. We do, okay? Because it's true. The Bible talks about that. But if you have made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity in a real place called heaven for eternity. In His presence. Isn't that amazing? Because we've been renewed. We're a new creature. We're a new creation. We've been renewed by the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us. He now lives on the inside of us. We are born again. Destined for heaven. Tell the person next to you. If you're born again, tell them, you're destined for heaven. And now tell them, and the converse is also true. Yeah. Folks, we must be renewed. We really must be. And the reason why so many of us lose our first love and we become, you know what happens when we lose our first love? We become lukewarm. Lukewarm believers. Lukewarm. Is because that we have not taken time to renew our minds with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not taken the time to renew our minds with God's word. That is why every Sunday you hear from here, we need to be reading our word. Need to be reading. So because we have God now living on the inside of us, we should continually be changing. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't think it's good that we have God living on the inside of us and there's no change. So we continually need to be changing. And the change that should be taking place is that you and I are becoming more and more and more like Jesus. So when we are out there in this lost and dying world, we're able to represent Him well. When people see us, they see Christ in you. The hope of glory, and they see something in you that they want. And they'll be drawn to you, and you'll be able to share the good news with them. So we need to make sure that we are changing. We put on the new self. We have resurrection power on the inside of us. And not only do we have resurrection power on the inside of us, we are now those who are led by the Spirit of God. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Right? We don't have to rely on our kind of human abilities and human efforts anymore, because we are able to inquire from the Lord and trust that we will hear from the Lord and that He will guide us. So we now walk out our salvation. This is what we have to do. We walk out our salvation, the word says, with fear and trembling. And part of it is to crucify the flesh daily. Maybe tell the person next to you, that one. We have to crucify the flesh daily. Yeah, it's not easy, eh? Eh? But we need to change, folks. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is now Paul writing to the church in Galatia. He says to them, eh, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So what we need to do is make a choice. We either choose to do it, what He says, or we choose not to. Make a choice. So folks, let us continually have His name. That name that is above every name. Let's continually have His name on our lips. Huh? And also, let's make the effort, even from today. Today is a significant day, that we read our word every single day. You know why? Because faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's be those that start to pray more. Today is a good day to start that. Spending time in His presence, praying more. Maybe also listening to, you know, some music that edifies us. That's good for us as well. And also, let's put effort into connecting with the body. Oh, remember I said last week, Those people that say, and I showed you scriptures that, oh, I love God, but I don't like the church. Remember, we spent time looking at that last week. Folks, you can't love God and don't like His people. It's impossible. So let's make an effort to connect with believers as well, you know, to encourage us as we encourage them and put in Jesus first in everything we do. We start to live in His strength. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So folks, let's be those who choose to do things His way. It's all about decision. Our walk with the Lord is about making decisions. You know that if you're not reading your Bible every day, you've made the decision not to. I'm just telling you. You've decided not to. Okay? So let's choose to start to do things His way and start to prepare ourselves for the eternity that we're going to be moving into. We start to prepare ourselves. It all starts here on planet Earth. Preparing ourselves for the big picture. And that is in an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. And then with that, while we are here on Earth, let's choose to be doers of the Word. And not just hearers. It's not complicated. Huh? Thanks.